gifts, you can do that anytime during the service. Amen. Giving is important, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, we want to have some heaven on earth. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 21. Deuteronomy 11, 21. And the scripture says this, that your days may be multiplied. Is multiplication a good thing? To have more time to do what you need to do. Is that a good thing? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Say heaven on earth. Can we have heaven on earth? I want you to go with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 10. And the scripture says this. It's talking about Jesus was giving some principles of prayer, and he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, as it is where? In heaven. So does God want to do his earth? Does God want to do his will on the earth? Okay? And go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 10. John 14, 10. Jesus is talking here. He was speaking to Thomas, who asked him where he was going. And he said, believe you not that I am in the Father? And the Father's where? In me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Let me ask you this question. Is the Father dwelling in us? Whose spirit is dwelling in us? God, right? And is God's spirit any different than God? So therefore, God is dwelling in us, isn't he? Okay? But notice, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe that Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in him, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall what? You're going to do also. Can we do the works that Jesus did? On whose authority can we do those works? His authority, right? It's in his name. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, who's he talking to here in verse 12? He that what? Believes on me, right? If you believe the word, can you get the results that Jesus got? Absolutely. Can you have the life that Jesus had? Absolutely. You know, we're joint heirs with Jesus, right? And wherever the word is preached, he said, I'm with you. He goes with us, confirming his word with signs following. Now notice verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, what's going to happen? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you shall ask anything in my name. Now, that's really based on our relationship. Okay? Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 11. And let's just review for a minute, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Okay? There are blessings, benefits, and rewards to those who do God's will on the earth. All right? Having heaven on earth is basically having God's will done on earth, just like it is in heaven. When God gives a command in heaven, are the people sorrowful in heaven? No. They're like, oh man, I can't believe you said that, God. No, they do it, all right? They don't question it. They don't think about it. They just do it, okay? And that's how we need to be also. So in Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, it says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God, keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Part of having heaven on earth is how we love God, right? It's about us loving God. And most of our problems will be solved if we just fall in love with Jesus. You know, when you really love Jesus, things will work out for you, right? All things work together for good to them who are called, who love me and are called according to my purpose. So things are going to work out. It doesn't mean you're not going to have any challenges, okay? But there's a lot to say about us loving God with our whole heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we've got to fear God, not to be afraid of him, but respect and reverence him, okay? And then he talked about seeing his, verse 2 says, and know this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. God always works in levels. You know what? Sometimes it's going to be God's hand. Sometimes it's going to be his greatness, which is his glory. And other times it's going to be his outstretched arm. Okay? And his miracles, verse 3, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. Now, didn't the Israelites see some things in Egypt? Why did God do what he did in Egypt? Any ideas? Israel was being held against their will. Because a Pharaoh rose up who didn't even know who Joseph was. And as the Israelites increased, Pharaoh began to oppress them more and more and more. Egypt is a type of the world. Okay? When you're in the world, you're going to be oppressed. You're going to be beat down. You're going to be run down. And, you know, the devil is operating in the world. Okay? He's the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world, who blinds the minds of them that believe not. And Pharaoh had opportunity after opportunity to obey God. And God sent Moses to appear before Pharaoh, and his message was, let my people go. And Pharaoh resisted. He resisted God's will. He resisted God's will. He resisted God's will. And every time he resisted God's will, God demonstrated his power. And his power demonstrated was to release his people. Okay? Finally, so the people saw God's judgment. They saw his acts against Pharaoh. They saw what happened to the Egyptian army. What happened? They drowned in the Red Sea. And he saw what happened in the wilderness. When Israel got out of Egypt, there were still Egypt in people. You know, it's one, I've said this before, but it's one thing to get people out of Egypt. It's another thing to get the Egypt out of the people. If you still got the world on your mind, it's going to be hard for God to do things that he wants to do in your life. You've got to change how you think about things. You've got to change how you view things. And you've got to look at it through the eyes of the Word of God. If you want God to move on your behalf, he's going to do it by his Word and by his Spirit. Okay? Now go down to verse 8. Therefore, shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong. You know, did you know that keeping God's commands gives you strength? Wait upon the Lord and you'll renew what? Your strength. And notice, when you keep God's commands, you've got to go in and possess the land. Now let me just say something about the land. What is the promised land? Give me your thoughts. What is the promised land? Israel? Okay? What is it? What is the promised land for a believer in Christ? It's all the blessings and promises of God that are yes and amen. Everything that God wants you to have, everything that he's given you, every benefit, every privilege, every right, that is the promised land for a believer in Christ Jesus. Okay? They had the physical promised land was the land that God gave to Israel. And they're not possessing all that they were given. Okay? God gave them from the river Euphrates all the way to, you know, so there's more for them to possess. But spiritually speaking, the land that God's given us is every promise in God, every benefit, every privilege, every right as a son and a daughter. You have got to make up your mind that you're going to possess what's been given to you. Even though God gave that to them, they still had to possess it. Okay? Now let's look at verse 10. For the land where you go in to possess it is not the land of Egypt. Is God's kingdom different from the kingdom of darkness? Colossians tells us we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Say, I'm in a different kingdom. And because you're in a different kingdom, you have a different ruler. Your ruler is now Jesus. Before, your ruler was Satan. But now you're in a different kingdom. Okay? So I want you to understand that your land is different than the land of Egypt. How is it different? Where you sowed seed and watered it with your foot as a garden. So in Egypt, you had to sow seed and you had to water it with your foot. Maybe they had a paddle system to irrigate the water, okay? In other words, there was a lot of extra work in Egypt, wasn't there? A lot of toil. A lot of pain. Look at verse 11 now. He's going to show us what makes this land different. But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water from the rain of heaven. So you don't have to water your crop in this new land. God waters it. It drinks in water from the rain of heaven. Where do all of our good things come from? God. He is the source of all good things. Say, God is good. That's what the Bible says. God is good. So the land that God wants to bring us into drinks in water from the rain of heaven. Notice verse 12. A land which the Lord your God cares for or provides for. For the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from beginning of the year even until the end of the year. So get this picture. You've got God. He's watching over your land. And he's looking over your land. And he's making sure that your land is being cared for. And all you've got to do is believe him. All you've got to do is keep his commands. All you've got to do is walk with him. Amen? When you walk with him and you're keeping his commands and you do his will, then he's going to make sure that your land prospers. He's going to make sure that your land increases. Can I give you a little insight? How many know Abraham and Lot? Their stuff had increased so much that it couldn't contain Lot and Abraham together. Can you imagine how much sheep they must have had together if the land couldn't contain them? And as a result, there was strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. Okay? So Abraham agreed with God, and he decided that I'm not going to allow strife in my life. Okay? Because if you allow strife in your life, you're going to allow every evil work to come in. So Abraham decided in his heart that I'm not going to allow strife. So he told Lot, he said, Lot, wherever you go, I'll go the opposite direction. But wait a minute, Abraham. He is your nephew. You have a right to tell Lot where to go. But I want you to get something. Abraham had faith in God. Abraham knew that God had blessed him. And because Abraham knew that God blessed him, it didn't matter where he went because his source was God. He knew that wherever he went, he would be blessed. Abraham knew that the blessing was not on Lot. Lot simply was blessed by association with Abraham. But because Abraham had faith in God, it doesn't matter where Abraham goes because God is his source. And when he rescued Lot, the king wanted to give Abraham the stuff, and Abraham said, no, I don't want any man to say that you've made me rich. His faith was in God, and everywhere that Abraham went, God prospered him because his faith was in God. And that's what I'm talking about. In other words, wherever Abraham went, God was watching over his land. He was watching over his sheep, his camels, his donkeys, his servants, and God made sure that wherever Abraham went, he prospered. Because God cared for his land. Look at verse 13. And notice, God will watch over it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Well, you say, well, I'm struggling right now. Yeah, but when your faith is in God, just come back tomorrow. You may be struggling today, but because your faith is in God, God will see you through. He will cause you to overcome the struggle. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto my commands. How does faith come? By hearing. You've got to hearken diligently to God's commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. In other words, you may think you're in a famine now, but God will cause your desert to bloom. Because that's who he is. Notice, I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn, your wine, and your oil. In other words, when you're walking with God, he's going to be sure that you get a harvest. He is personally going to guarantee your harvest will come about because of your relationship with him. Go with me to Genesis 28. I want to illustrate this. This has to do with having heaven on earth. Who's taking care of your garden? God is. Didn't Jesus call him the husbandman? My Father's the husbandman, I'm the vine, and we're the branches. Because God wanted to start a lot of branch offices. He wanted to set up shop. I want you to look at Genesis 28. And let's go to verse 10. Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. He dreamed a dream. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached where? And so this ladder was set up on earth, but it extended into heaven. It's a big ladder. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. In other words, angels are coming from heaven to earth. Why? Because they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Did you know that God has angels assigned to you? They're assigned to help you. They're kind of like the setup crew for a play. They work behind the scenes and they try to help set things up. They also fight your enemies. Okay? So here was this ladder on earth up to heaven. Angels were going up and down this ladder. Verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it. What do you think the Lord was doing standing above that ladder? He was looking over the land to see where he could help it. Because you got to remember, Jacob was a descendant of Abraham. He was his grandson. Okay? And notice what the Lord said. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed. So if the Lord has the power to give the land, then he also has the power to take care of the land. Okay? And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. We got a lot of dust on this earth, don't we? And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. See, there's power in the seed. And behold, now notice this, I am with you. I will keep you in all places where you go. So guess what? It doesn't matter where you go. If the Lord is with you and you're with him, things are going to, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Okay? And will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken. In other words, I'm going to make sure that from the beginning to the end, my will is going to be fulfilled in your life. What an awesome dream. Okay, verse 16, Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Hello? I would guess so. And I knew it not. Can you imagine the Lord being in a place and you not know it? Have we become so dull where we don't know where the presence of the Lord is? And verse 17, and I was afraid, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that had put for his pillows and set up for a pillar and poured oil up top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God or the house of bread. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. Did God say he was going to be with him? And will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Will God give you bread to eat? Will God give you clothes to wear? Absolutely. In other words, there is nothing that should generate fear, worry, or concern in you as to whether or not will God provide for me. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. Did God have Jacob's heart? Now, we know that Jacob went to work for Laban. We know that his wages were changed 10 times. He committed to work 7 years for his daughter, and he ended up with the wrong daughter, so he committed to work 14 more years. Another 7 years, so 14 years total, right? And even though his wages were changed 10 times, how did Jacob end up? Look at Genesis 31. Oh, you got to see this. Genesis 31, verse 1. He heard the words of Laban's sons saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. How did he do it? He made spotted and speckled sticks at the water trough. And later we found out that God gave him that idea. But I want to tell you something. When your heart is right with God and you're walking with God, he will make sure that you are blessed, that you are taken care of, that you are provided for, that you are secure in him. And it doesn't matter where you go, as long as wherever you go, you're going with God. Now, there's no guarantee if you're out here and God's over here. Amen? I mean, you and God have got to be one. You've got to be in agreement. You've got to be walking with God. You've got to be doing what he wants you to do. And you can have heaven on earth. So Jacob had a supernatural increase of sheep and goats. And he basically transferred the wealth that was Laban's into Jacob's hand. And actually, if you read the story, when Laban agreed to these terms of his payment was going to be the spotted and the speckled goats, Laban took all the spotted and speckled goats and put them in the care of his sons. So he was literally making it impossible for Jacob to prosper. But how many know that impossible is not part of our vocabulary? Because with God, all things are what? It's possible for Sarah to have a baby in her 90s. It's possible for someone who was thrown into a pit and thrown into a prison can become the prime minister of a country, governing all their finances. So when you're walking with God, when you're loving God, when you're keeping his commands, you have got to be confident that you are blessed. If God be for you, who can be against you? What's the answer? No one. There's no weapon that can be formed against you that will prosper. I don't care if the devil takes aim at you, his gun will misfire. Or he won't hit the mark. What the devil meant for evil, God will bring good out of it. This is about having heaven on earth. We are people of faith. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in the solid rock. Our faith is in the healer. You know, sickness has been trying to come on my body, but I know that I'm winning the fight. Because I have a healer. We have a covenant of healing with the living God. He is an actual, genuine healer. He is the cure-all. If people would just give their money to the church, we could cure the cancer. Not to do away with all the science and stuff, but have they found a cure of all the millions and millions and billions of dollars that they've invested? No. But Jesus has a cure. Jesus is the cure. He wants to, listen, sickness in your body is like bugs in your crop. When bugs are in your crop, you will lose the harvest. So what does God do? He sprays bug repellent over your crop. See, God is watching. When you're walking with Him, He's watching over your stuff. He's making sure that He's taking care of you. Not only did Jacob become rich, he also reconciled with his brother. Because he made a decision to get his life right with God. And when he did that, God was for him. And no one could be against him. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 11. Let's get to a place where we can wrap it up. Look at verse 15. Deuteronomy 11, 15. I will send grass in your fields. Who's going to send grass? God. For your cattle, that you may eat and be full. God's concerned about your cattle. He knows if your cattle is fed, you're going to be fed. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. How does our heart get deceived? When we don't do God's word. When we don't do God's will. If we hear the word and we're not doing it, our heart will be deceived. That's what James tells us. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the rain from heaven. Or he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. Did you know that Elijah had a scriptural right to declare that there won't be rain from heaven? It's right here in Deuteronomy 11. When he approached King Ahab, the Bible called Ahab the most wicked king up to that point. So Elijah had a right, scripturally speaking, to say, at my word, there's not going to be any rain. And for 3 years, there wasn't any rain. Because if a leader of a country is not right with God, then that country could be going in the wrong direction. Look at verse 18. He gives us the warning, but then he reassures us. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. You got to have God's word in your heart and in your mind. You got to have God's word on your mind. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Teach them to your children's children, or to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied. There are things that we can do to have heaven on earth, or there are things that we can do to have the other one, to have hell on earth. It all has to do about our relationship with God and our relationship with His Word. God wants you healed. God wants you whole. God wants you blessed. Just because He wants it doesn't make it happen in your life. You've got to want what God wants. You've got to go after what God wants with a passion, with a tenacity, with a boldness, with confidence. And when you do it, you can get it. Everyone who came to Jesus for healing, you read the Gospels, everyone who came to Jesus, they left whole. Everyone who came to Him. Well, if you're coming to Jesus, that's pursuit, isn't it? If you need healing tonight, I want you to come to the healer, and He's going to heal you. If you need strength tonight, I want you to come to the strengthener, and He will give you strength. What is it that you need? He's got it. He wants you to have heaven on earth. But having heaven on earth is doing things His way and not our way. You know, if the devil is wreaking havoc where you are, are you just going to let him do it? Oh, the devil's working there. Oh, well. No, you have the authority and the ability to do something about it. Take your authority and use it. Kick the devil out of your house. God has given you that authority. He's given you the authority to do what Jesus did on this earth. And having heaven on earth is having God's will done in your life. When God's will is being done, then heaven is backing you up. Heaven, you got to become heaven's partner. Amen? So, I believe that there's some people here with some needs tonight. You need God to move on your behalf. And I want you to, if you need prayer, I want you to come up right now. And I want you to come believing, come receiving, come expecting, and just whatever you need, God will meet that need. He'll meet your need according to His riches and glory. When God moves, He doesn't move according to the standards of the earth. He moves according to the standards of heaven. When you believe God for something, He'll give you too much of that thing, because He's a too much God. He'll always give you more than you expect, because that's just who He is. So if you have a need tonight, I want you to come up. And let's believe God together. And anything that God does, He does it by His anointing and His power. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. He's very much interested in your success. And only He can prevent your failure. And when you trust Him wholeheartedly, He'll work it out in incredible ways. What is it that you need from God today?